The choice of Jorge Bergoglio, now Pope Francis I, has been hailed widely all over the world. He is the first South American Pope, the first Jesuit, and now he has chosen Francis for the first time a Pope's name. But I think, just as it happened with Pope Benedict XVI, any Pope will suffer from comparison with the universally admired John Paul II, Pope from 1978 to 2005. In fact, he is already beatified, and it is expected that he will brush through his canonization as a saint. A part of me admires him, but a more telling part of me cannot admire when it comes to a matter of doctrinal concern. One thing about Pope John Paul II is that he has canonized more people into sainthood than all other popes combined. Mas marami siyang ginawang santo at santa. Kahit pagsamasamahin mo ang mga ginawang santo at santa ng mga nakalipas na papa, mas marami pa rin ginawang santo at santa si Pope John Paul II, which means he has just doubled, more than doubled, the number of idols for our friends, the Roman Catholics. Their veneration of the saints will always divide us from Catholics, because as serious evangelicals, we deem the worship of images, and that includes veneration of saints, as idolatry. Kaya tindigan natin ito, ang anumang pagsamba sa mga imahen at pagkilala ng mga santo at santa na hindi ayon sa salita ng Diyos ay kasama sa kasalanan ng pag-iidolo. But while we must continue to take a strong stance against idolatry of images, there are other idolatries that you and I can be guilty of. And we are in a series of messages that addresses a less obvious idolatry, but with as much bondage. And I'm using the biblical expression, idols of the heart. These are idols that are put on an altar which is not in a grotto, but in an altar made in the heart. Ang mga idolong ito ay itinatayo sa altar ng ating mga puso, ngunit tinatrato pa rin na tulad sa isang Diyos. The idol is very real. There may not be an image you dress up and bring through procession, but it is treated just like any idolatry. It possesses the man who worships it. And that is the very essence of idolatry. Idolatry is anything that fills the place that belongs to God alone. Yan ang idolo. Kapag humahalili sa puwang ng Diyos sa ating buhay, ay isa na rin niyang idolo. At there are idols of the heart, not images, but real idols. We treated first the issue of success. Success is good, but it is not a God. And beware that we do not worship it. We learn that success in the place of God will always prove to be a failed idol. Last week, we addressed wealth. And again, wealth can be a good thing, but when worshipped, wealth in the place of God will always prove to be a poor idol. Well, today, we consider the idolatry of love. Now, I imagine there might be some kind of reaction, Pastor, I can accept that success can be an idol, and it is right for you to warn us against it. And yes, wealth can be a real idol, and warning against the idolatry of wealth is due. But how can you think of love as an idol? Isn't God Himself love? So how can we reduce love into an idol? Well, I'm going to tell you, it does become an idol. I would invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29, beginning verse 16 to the end of the chapter, verse 35. Just bear in mind, we are looking at a story which happened more than 2,000 years before Christ in the region of Mesopotamia, but as you read it, it seems to happen in this generation. Beginning verse 16. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go in to her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. Laban gave his female servant Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her servant. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "It is not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete a week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his female servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served Laban for another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me." She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also." And he called his name Simeon. Again, she conceived and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. Well, it is not my intention to address what may appear to us like an ethical problem of bigamy. This is something which is cultural then. We do not accept that kind of arrangement, but it was something that happened in the culture then. But we will miss the lesson if we spend time on that. Now, who was Jacob? Jacob was the man who will become Israel, God's covenant nation of the Old Testament. In other words, in the story of Jacob is the story of redemption. Sa laysay ng buhay ni Jacob, makikita natin ang salaysay ng katubusan. Siya ang magiging Israel. At sa kabila ng kanyang pagiging makasalanan, siya ang hinirang ng Diyos upang siyang maging ama ng kanyang mga anak na siyang magiging mga angkan ng bayan ng Israel. Therefore, Jacob's story is the story of the undeserving receiving redeeming grace, and in that sense, that makes it our story too. So what happened here? How did Jacob come to this point of the story? Well, after a series of fraudulent activities in his own household, the results have caught up with Jacob. He had to run away before Esau could lay hands on him. Dahil nga niloko niya si Isaac, niloko niya si Esau, ang kanyang kapatid, and ngayon hinahabol siya ni Esau, and he had to run away, and he found himself in the territory of his uncle Laban. And here he came to know Rachel, the younger daughter of Laban, and something happened to Jacob that has not happened before. He fell in love. He was absolutely smitten by the stunning beauty of Rachel. In other words, he idolized her. And this is where you see the idolatry of love. This is my message. Love relation in the place of God will always prove to be an unlovely idol. Ang relasyong pag-ibig na humahalili sa puwang ng Diyos ay mapapatunayang isang pangit na idolo. Love relation in the place of God will always prove to be an unlovely idol. Now, I have said of idols that of themselves they are not wrong. Success cannot be wrong. Wealth cannot be wrong in and of themselves. And this certainly is true of love. Whether we talk of romantic love, parental love, love between friends, they all make life beautiful, happy, and colorful. And we cannot be against love as such. But beware, for of all idols of the heart that we have considered, this is the most subtle. Ito ang pinakatuso kung hindi natin babantayan. So again, like in the previous two, let us look at love in three connections. First, love and disappointment. Pag-ibig at pagkaunsami. Love and disappointment. Second, love and domination. Pag-ibig at pangingibabaw. Love and domination. And thirdly, love and dedication. Pag-ibig at pag-aalay. Lahat ng yan makikita natin dito sa salaysay ng tatlong taong na sangkot sa bagay na ito. So, let us look at love and disappointment. Jacob's name is associated with deception. Among his victims were his own father, his own brother. But in Laban, he found his match. And in their match, we see the battle royale of two consummate frauds, two consummate swindlers. But why did Laban beat Jacob in his own game? He became vulnerable. Again, he fell in love. And Laban saw the vulnerability. What we learn here is that the idolatry of love brings the disappointment of deception. Kapag ginawa nating idolo ang relasyong pag-ibig, magdadala ito ng pagkaunsyami, ng pandaraya. When Jacob saw the management, or rather when Laban saw the management skills of Jacob, he negotiated with him to have oversight of his flock. And in the negotiation and contract signing, they came to the issue of compensation, a 7-year contract. And as far as Jacob was concerned, there was one singular compensation he wanted, and it is a name, Rachel. He did not want to talk of money terms, not material terms, just that person. And we are told that he labored for 7 years, and it just seemed few days because of Rachel. Love inspires. And here is Jacob, inspired on a day-to-day basis. Now, there's an interesting comparison made here of the two sisters. We are told Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. The description in Hebrew suggests a stunning figure for Rachel besides being beautiful. But Leah's description is particularly unflattering, as her eyes are mentioned. Something that was unsightly about her, that is not given any detail, but you can get the drift. Sinasabi riyan, hindi nakakaakit itong si Leah, and ito namang si Rachel ay maganda at kinahumalingan nitong si Jacob. At the end of the 7 years, when Jacob was to claim his prize, Laban made sure he was drunk. Jacob went into the tent assured that he had the woman of his dream. And what happened in the morning? Well, I imagine Jacob still struggling with the stupor of his hangover, and he opened his eyes and went, something like that happened. He saw Leah. And only then, when he confronted Laban, only then did Laban made him read the fine prints of the contract. And the fine prints of the contract say that it must be according to our culture. And the culture of that region says it must first be the elder before the younger. And therefore, Leah had to be it first. And so, the fraud in Laban made a new deal. After the mandatory 1-week honeymoon, you can have Rachel on the condition that you will again work for me 7 years. Well, caught in his trap, wala nang magawa itong si Jacob, at siya ay sumang-ayon. In his devious way, Laban saw that he could play a trick even on a fraud like him, because he was smitten by love idolatry. Let me tell you that what was true more than 2,000 years before Christ in the region of Mesopotamia is true of the Facebook generation of the 21st century. Nothing has changed. When love turns into an idolatry, when you define your 7 years or more for a Rachel, you will wake up to find it is a Leah. You can change the names. You can change things. But this is a paradigm of disappointment. You work for a Rachel and then you wake up with a Leah. And this is a story replicated many times in history and in experience. You have Cleopatra who hoped for her throne on two love relationships, Julius Caesar and then Anthony, and both failed her to the point that she committed suicide. And that's just a famous story. And what about the unknown stories of history and of human experience? What this is telling us is, do not put your life's hope in any love object. That hope belongs to God, not in any love object. Jacob has lived a life of distorted love relations. Listen to the way his home was described in Genesis 25:28. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So here was a dysfunctional home where parents played favorites. And in those days, to secure the father's love had a lot more advantage than just the mother's love. And clearly, Jacob was at a disadvantage. And because of that dysfunctional situation, Jacob learned that the only way to get advantage is by deceiving. That's what he learned in the home. But when he was turned to Laban's realm and he saw Rachel, he saw the one chance of true love. And all 7 years only to have Leah. As Sam said, you can change the name, the circumstances, but this is the paradigm of disappointment of love idolatry. It may be a parent's love to a child whom he had treated as the bundle of his hope and ambition, but as the child grows, there can be disappointment. It may be the closest of friends who have a falling out, and the hurt can cut deeper than if it were from enemies. And again, you read history and you have a lot of that. And I'm talking also of Christian relations. John Wesley, when he took sight of Molly Vazil, was sure this was God's woman for him. His own brother was cautioning him, Charles Wesley, but John would not be restrained. Molly Vazil was a widow, and when they were married, Charles Wesley, the hymnist, recorded they were all hiding their faces, and it proved to be a miserable marriage. Molly would transfer on John the miseries that she felt, and it was the dream that John Wesley thought he had became a nightmare. One friend reported when he visited the house of the Wesleys, you know, John Wesley is small of stature, and he reported that he caught them quarreling and that Molly was dragging John Wesley on the floor by his hair. This is the man who will preach with boldness to hundreds and thousands, yet a failed marriage. And I can cite on and on the lonely marriage of George Whitefield, the failed first marriage of William Carey. And I'm citing this without the unedifying details because I want to break the myth that just because they are Christians, this is a dream marriage. If it becomes idolatry, that is a myth. It becomes disappointment. So love and disappointment when love turns into idolatry. Second, connection is love and domination, pag-ibig at pangingibabaw. The tragic victim of love idolatry in this story is Leah. She craved for Jacob's love. I imagine when they grew up as sisters, it must have hurt that through her growing years, she would be always unfavorably compared to her beautiful sister. And it would be very painful to her that her father, it was the father's responsibility to find a husband for his daughters, it would be painful for Leah that her father had to use guile and deception to get her a husband. And all the years, she would hope for Jacob's love by using her children. Still to no avail. We learn here that the idolatry of love turns to a dominating addiction. Kapag ginawa nating idolo ang pag-ibig, ito ay magiging pagkahumaling. Leah demonstrates the spirit, the words of the song, "You're nobody till somebody loves you." And she felt nobody. She needed to be an object of love. And this idolatry of love can manifest itself in many forms, all in quest of becoming a love object. It may be in the form of a man who lives a promiscuous life, bedding one woman after another and still feels empty. Or it may be a woman wearing indecently, leaving nothing else to the imagination just to be the man's attention. Whatever we use, it becomes idolatry, which turns into addiction. Or it can be as distorted as many battered women I have dealt with. Women who are battered by their husbands, yet blame themselves for their battery while covering their black eye and stripes. What's happening here is love is playing its narcotic power to the hilt, and its addict just cannot let go. The power of love, as the song goes. That's addiction, whether drugs, alcohol, it is the substance that makes the heaviness bearable. And for some, it is to be a love object. The challenge is, do not mold your life in a craving to be the love object. Leah's life is a pathetic craving to become the love object of Jacob, whereas the latter was in love with Rachel. And Leah used her role as child bearer to win his love and never succeeded. And you may have your own, but ever form that takes, it is an idolatry of love. Somebody observed that men use love to get sex and women use sex to get love, but both are idolatries. We are never to be after becoming a love object. And young Christians, this is the mentality that will make you prey to unequal yoking. And the Bible's warning is clear, 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It becomes idolatry. But the reason why it turns to idolatry is because you made first an idol of love. You want to be a love object. And in the process, you sink into idolatry. When you do not make an idol of love, God may give you someone much better than a lover, a partner in a holy company for kingdom glory that you serve together. But don't make an idol of love. Hudson Taylor, before going to his mission to China, had to deal with his own heart idol. And only then was he prepared to serve. The fact is, as a Christian, you are already a love object of God. Not because you deserve it, but because it is a gracious love. 1 John 4:10, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son, a propitiation for our sins.
Ang tunay na mananampalataya ay iniibig na ng Diyos. Hindi mo kailangang hanapin na maging object ng pag-ibig. Iniibig ka ng Diyos, hindi dahil ito'y karapatan mo o dahil ikaw ay kaibig-ibig, kundi iniibig ka ng Diyos ayon sa kanyang masaganang biyaya. At ang tanda ng kanyang pag-ibig ay doon sa kanyang isinugo na anak, ang Panginoong Hesukristo. So don't be dominated by this quest for love. But finally, love and dedication. Just as Leah was a pathetic victim here, yet in the story, Leah is the one person to make spiritual progress. After all, she has been calling upon the Lord in all the story, in all of the story. At every birth of a son, she would express hope that this is the occasion that she will win Jacob's love. But when her last son was born, Judah, what does she say? No more suspension on Jacob's love. All that she said this time, I will praise the Lord. We learn here that the idolatry of love detracts from complete dedication to God. Kapag ginawa nating idolo ang relasyong pag-ibig, babawas ito, pipigil ito sa lubos na pag-aalay ng sarili sa Panginoon. For as long as Leah suspended her life on her love idol in Jacob, she could not devote to praise. But when her last son, and what does that mean? She had four sons. It took years. She was for years a slave of the idol of love. But finally, deliverance in the son she called Judah. When her last son was born, there was a consciousness of a turning point. There was the result this time. And the writer of Genesis, which we believe to be Moses, must have been excited as he wrote this part. Because later on he would pen the prophecy about Judah. The blessing of Jacob, stated in 49:10 of Genesis, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Out of the unloved woman, Jesus came. And that's again the story of how God deals with us. Henry VIII, at first thought he was meeting with Anne Boleyn. He married her, and then got disenchanted with her, had her beheaded. And you might say, what a miserable life. Out of Anne Boleyn was born Elizabeth I, believed by English historians to be the golden age of the English monarchy, who ruled from 1558 to 1603. Out of the unloved woman came the golden age. The challenge to us, brethren, is if we will not make an idolatry of love, rejoice in God's love. And God's love extends to the unlovely. This is the story of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the story of salvation. Salvation came into the world not through the attractive Rachel, but through the unwanted one. Christ offers himself as the true bridegroom. He offers grace to the unlovely because of sin. Salvation by morality favors the lovely and the attractive. It is for the achievers. And beware, that is not the message of the scripture. Ang mensahe ng kasulatan ukol sa ebanghelyo ay para sa mga walang gandang maipagmamagaling. Ngunit para sa kanila na pinapangit ng kasalanan, iniaalay at iniaalok ang biyaya ng Diyos. And out of love to God, then we can serve. Today, March 17, is St. Patrick's Day. He died in the year 461. He became a slave in Ireland, but managed to escape. and then got converted as a Christian. And he wanted to be a missionary. And would you believe, he became the missionary of Ireland. And today he is looked up to by Irish Christians. A man who would have reason to hate the Irish people, but more than anyone loved them, because he knew that he was the love object of the grace of God. And I challenge you, if you are dealing and struggling with this issue, have your moment like Leah, when you say, this time, you leave it to the Lord, whether that love relationship will come or not. But whether in a love relation or not, there is reason to praise God. So are you smitten like Jacob in an enslaving love? Break that idol. That space belongs to God. And we will sing our last hymn with a resolved thee will I love. My strength, my tar, thee will I love, my joy, my crown. And may that be the overarching love that sweeps all other loves, our love for God. Let's close in prayer.
Dakila naming Diyos sa Ama, tunay ngang tanggapin namin ang babala ng iyong salita, sapagkat tunay na maaring mangyari na baluti ng aming puso ng hinahangad na relasyong pag-ibig, at ang mangyari ay humalili ito sa puwang na nararapat lamang na para sa aming Diyos. May we take the warning seriously, for what was true of the life of Jacob, and Leah, and Rachel more than 2,000 years before Christ in Mesopotamia is something we see day by day in this Facebook generation of the 21st century. And we pray that we will not yield to the idolatry of a love relationship, for it is connected to disappointment. The same paradigm of disappointment that happened to Jacob when we define our 7 years or our life by Rachel, we will be disappointed with Leah. And that is true not just of relations, but even of occupations. For that place of absolute love belongs only to our God. So may we also overcome the dominating power of love when people seek to be the love object, for that easily falls into the victim of an equal yoking or of idolatry or unedifying relationships. Grant, Lord, that you may help us to rest upon you. We pray especially for the young Christians in this congregation. They would be vulnerable to love propositions, and because we know the power of love to make one feel inspired, one can easily fall into this temptation. So we pray for your special grace to hedge about the young men and women of this church. We pray for their protection. And may we instead emulate the point where Leah finally came to her senses by your grace, when she just said, this time, I will praise the Lord. And from the birth of Judah, we learn that your way of dealing is to have Jesus come through the unlovely. And your way of dealing in grace is to extend your mercy and your offer to those who are made unlovely by sin. And it is for such that grace is offered. That is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, ultimately, that is also the story of Jacob. For you have been pleased to identify yourself more than with any name associated with you. You are the God of Jacob. You are the God of the ones fraudulent. You are the God of the ones rebel, but changed by grace. And may we be such And as we pursue true love with you, help us, Lord, to serve you with real dedication and to praise you in whatever circumstances we are in. We give you thanks for this and help us, Lord, to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.